Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope.
No other sausage is welcome.
And the Bulldog.
Like, I am very familiar with my kielbasas.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Okay, sausage talk. Very good. Happy Friday, Bills and Giants. Sunday, going for 2-0. The Bills are, of course. 1 o'clock on WGR. Joining us now from RotoWire, Kevin Payne on Twitter. You know what? I want to do this from memory. KCPayne26. How'd I do? Is that right, Kevin?
Yeah, that would be correct.
All right.
Stalker.
What's the 26 mean?
I think that I was 26 years old, to tell you the truth, and I was in school, and one of my advisors recommended to me that I go ahead and switch what my other email address was, so it looked a little bit more professional. So that's my AOL address, and that's my Twitter handle.
All right, well, looks professional enough to me. How about the Bills as we start here, Kevin, with their win last week? We were talking a little bit about prop bets today already. You know, you have John Brown out there who got the big touchdown. He delivered fantasy-wise and in terms of real football in week one. Singletary's interesting. From a fantasy standpoint and beyond, how do you size up the Bills at this point?
Yeah, I think that those would be the interest guys I'd be interested in. And if you're doing some sort of PPR, I think that Cole Beasley is going to work his way into the mix. Didn't really do anything in the second half of that game. I think all his production was in the first half. And then I think, you know, every once in a while you're going to see either Zay Jones or Robert Foster step up and get a long touchdown. But I think that gradually they're going to go ahead and hand the reins over to Devin Singletary. I know Gore technically is the starter, but I think most games we're going to start to see Singletary get more touches and take over as that main guy. Looked absolutely fantastic in the second half. So if you've got shares of him, I would definitely hold on to that. And John Brown just looks like he's in a different gear than everybody else. There's a couple great passes that you can see the timing was good between him and Josh Allen, put the ball right on the money. I just think that this is going to be the guy. I was probably higher on Robert Foster coming into the season, but it definitely looks like John Brown's going to be the guy that you want to own for fantasy, and he looks like he's definitely the number one guy right now.
Yeah, you know, Kevin, as we made our way through the offseason, you know, we probably talked to at least a fantasy guest a week, including you, probably during the offseason, and most of them were sort of banging the drums for John Brown, and I just always sort of thought, okay, hold on, Robert Foster's really good. He really showed well last year. I still think there's room for him to be this team's go-to wide receiver, but boy, the way the season opened, I mean, Brown caught all variety of passes, you know, little crossers deeper down the seam, and then, of course, the longer one, which is what you expect from him, even though it was underthrown purposely by Allen, but you got the long touchdown and like big production there, and Foster barely played.
Yeah, and I think, though, he's going to get his chance. We know that one of these guys in front of him is going to get banged up sooner or later. So I still think that there's time for Foster to go ahead and emerge. I mean, on paper, he has more of the traits of your typical number one wide receiver, whereas John Brown's a little bit smaller, but the targets are going to be there. Brown's going to have every opportunity to be the number one guy. So we'll curious to see how this plays out. But I haven't given up on Foster. It's only been one game. I think that, as you said, sooner or later somebody might get a little bit banged up and then he'll get some more targets.
Maybe the most encouraging thing is that, the Bills were behind in the game, but they came out throwing. They called pass plays on 18 straight plays, so you end up with, what was Allen, 24 for 37 or something like that? So almost 40 pass attempts, and people who play fantasy got to love that, not just for Allen, of course, and you'll get his rushing and his rushing touchdown, but if they're going to throw it close to 40 times a game, maybe you got to rethink using these guys in your lineups.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see if that was just a specific game plan, if they saw something with the Jets. I also think that kind of might have helped out the offensive line, too, because that defensive line looked like they were getting tired and not really getting to Josh Allen. He was getting time back there to throw the ball, which was a good sign. So it's definitely be interesting to see against the Giants this week, another team that got absolutely torn apart by Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. Man, Michael Gallup looked good. It's interesting to see if they go with the same game plan or go with a little bit more of a run-heavy offense, especially now that they won't be playing from behind most of the game.
With Kevin Payne of RotoWire, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog on WGR, well, you guys are talking about Allen and throwing the ball. Allen and Lamar Jackson were brought up together a lot in fantasy talk over the summer. And, you know, Allen had nice numbers from week one, gave you that rushing touchdown that was so valuable from him last year, the second half. Jackson, though, Kevin, I mean, off the charts, throwing the ball. Now, everybody wants to know, was that Lamar Jackson or was that the Dolphins? You know, like it's got a bit of an asterisk on it. What do you think about him right now? Like, is he maybe a top five fantasy quarterback for you, or is Miami maybe so bad that you'd want to be careful?
Yeah, I got asked this week, do I play Lamar Jackson or do I play Drew Brees? And I think I actually went with Lamar Jackson because he's going to be at home. Brees doesn't play as well on the road. But, you know, what the production didn't surprise me. What did surprise me was how he did it, as you said, with his arm and not with his legs. I think we're going to see him do a lot more with his legs going forward. And I'm curious, my only hesitation, and I was pretty high on Jackson coming into the season. I've got him in a few different spots. My only hesitation is that I'm worried that he's not built like Cam Newton. Can he go ahead and take the hits for 16 games if he's going to go ahead and run the ball, you know, 8 to 12 times a game? But he didn't have to do that against Miami. And I really think it was a combination of, number one, him playing very well, and number two, this is a Miami team that appears to have quit already, and we're only at week two. So I'm curious to see how they do against the Patriots if they show up this week. This is still a professional football team. These guys are earning a paycheck. I took the Dolphins and the 19 points. It just seemed like that was way too much to go ahead and give them. But I think that Jackson will be just fine. I think we're going to, as you said, see him run the ball a lot more this week. And, look, he's got some weapons there. Mark Andrews, Marquise Hollywood Brown. He's got some guys that he can go ahead and get the ball to. And a lot of people, we see these reports in the preseason. You know, everything was glowing about him, that he was throwing the ball a lot better. He understood the offense. They retailered it to fit his needs in the offseason. So maybe some of these reports, there's some truth to them. So I'm curious to see what Jackson goes ahead and does going forward. And I think that you're going to profit nicely off him for a guy that was, you know, usually going well after pick 100 in most fantasy drafts.
Yeah, maybe another pretty advantageous matchup, too, with Arizona being their opponent.
Yeah, I think so. We saw, you know, Detroit was able to move the ball pretty easily against them last week and really had control of the game until that fourth quarter. So I think this is a good matchup, especially now that they'll be back in Baltimore.
You mentioned Newton in the course of talking about Jackson there, how Jackson's not built like Cam Newton. Even being built like Cam Newton doesn't seem to prevent you from getting worn down. And we're only 2 weeks in here. And boy, Kevin, yeah, if anybody's got him as their guy and expecting rushing yards and touchdowns and whatever, like, man, you got to be pretty shaken up because he looks kind of shot.
Yeah, I have no idea. Now, there's speculation that he's not in great shape. Who knows? I mean, it's a mystery because he does not look anything like himself. I've even seen speculation out there. You know, somebody wrote, and this isn't too far of a stretch, you know, might he go the Andrew Luck route and taking all these hits all the year, finally say, I've made my money, and gets out of the game, you know, well before he needs to. Maybe. I don't know what's going on with him. He's got one of the best running backs to help him out and open up a lot of holes. He's got two decent wide receivers in Samuel and Moore. He's still got Greg Olsen, that, you know, safety blanket. Ian Thomas is a guy I would keep an eye on. He's kind of an up-and-coming guy, a tight end as well. So the weapons are there. He just hasn't been able to do anything for 2 weeks. Maybe they'll right the ship, but right now it's not looking too positive when you go ahead and lose to a Tampa team that they should have beaten pretty easily at home last night.
Yeah, that's a very bad loss, especially with how that game ended. I agree with Kevin Payne of RotoWire. So, Kevin, your RotoWire column today has a picture of Mecole Hardman on the front from Kansas City, and he is one. Now, they're different from each other. Like, I'm thinking about the rookie receivers that really did the job in week one. Like, that was a story and a fantasy story last week. You mentioned Hollywood Brown, and like Metcalf seems to be fitting right in with the Seahawks. A.J. Brown was impressive and so on. And here's Hardman with the Chiefs with an opportunity now that Tyreek Hill is out. What about the rookies, and what is it that makes Hardman for you so intriguing this week?
So the reason I really like him, and I took him in the draft in the league that you and I and Joe are in together, and the reason I took him was I saw 4.33 speed for a guy who I think he's 6 foot, 205, 210, something like that. That is elite speed with solid size. So as long as he knows the playbook and the timing's down with Mahomes, I think it's going to be an excellent opportunity. We all saw what happened last week with Kansas City. Sammy Watkins went nuts. We know Travis Kelce is very good over the middle. So I got to think the Raiders defense, who I'm not worried about, I don't think they're anything special, you got to think that they're going to double those two guys and leave really soft coverage on both Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson. But I think Hardman's the guy that's got the more upside just with that speed. He could go ahead and have it a game like these rookie wide receivers, as you said, had last week. It was also kind of the week of, you know, the number two wide receiver. Sammy Watkins went off. John Ross went off. Michael Gallup went off. So that was, I thought, kind of a takeaway from week one. A lot of surprising wide receiver work from the number two guys and from some of these rookies. I really love Mecole Hardman. I'm going to play him in DFS everywhere. I think that he's going to have a big game this week hooking up with Patrick Mahomes.
And I like that point. I hadn't thought about that. DeSean Jackson would be somebody else for that, you know, the game he had. Okay. So do you overall, like, do you trust the rookies, or do you think it's probably just a coincidence that a few of them really did so well right away? Like, it's a story when a rookie receiver, you know, last year, right? We had to wait a while for DJ Moore and Calvin Ridley to really emerge, and this year it's happening right away.
I think you got to take a look at case by case. A.J. Brown, I don't know. I think that was a little bit more fluky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Corey Davis is still there. He's still considered the number one guy, and this is going to be a run-heavy offense with Derrick Henry, and Delanie Walker's healthy, so he's going to get a lot of targets as well. So in a case like A.J. Brown, I'm probably not starting him, even in a flex spot or number three wide receiver. I would hope I would have a better option. I think in the case of Marquise Brown, though, there's really limited options there, unless you think Willie Snead's the number one guy there, which I don't. Another guy who's got a ton of speed. So I would think that if you've got Marquise Brown, if you picked him up on waivers this week, if you were smart enough to go ahead and draft him, I would go ahead and use him in this situation. As I said, at least he's got Mark Andrews there, so teams are going to have to focus on more than just him. So that's how I would kind of go ahead and assess it, take a look situation by situation. And I think Metcalf, if you've got him, I would go ahead and play him. I think he's in a good spot. He might take over the number one role from Tyler Lockett. I mean, Tyler Lockett's really that guy who's supposed to stretch the field. He's not your typical guy that you're going to go ahead and expect to get 8 catches for 100 yards each week. He's going to get you, like, on his good weeks, 3 or 4 catches for 100 yards and a long score. Last week had the long touchdown, but that was it. So I think Metcalf's another guy that's in a great situation, especially that run-heavy offense for Seattle and Russell Wilson's ability to scramble and extend the play. I think it's going to work out really good for Metcalf, who's just an absolute physical freak. And, I mean, he was out there, what, 19 days after knee surgery? I mean, that's basically unheard of. So as long as he stays healthy, I think Metcalf's in a great spot as well.
Yeah, it's maybe maybe just indicative of how much attention I'm paying or not paying, but I'm just looking at this week's slate of games, Kevin, and thinking about Green Bay, and it's easy to sort of forget there's so many games since they played last Thursday and laid such an egg. But Devontae Adams would have been a very high pick. Of course, Rodgers is expected to put up numbers, and all they did was score 10 points. I know it was the Bears, but do you think people who are holding shares of Rodgers and or Adams are a little shaken here and, like, apprehensive? I mean, obviously you're playing them. You're going into week two here. You drafted them high, but I wonder if people are worried about the Packers offense.
They are. I got Rodgers or Lamar Jackson this week, and I think I said Lamar Jackson, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about Devontae Adams. I would be a little bit more worried about Rodgers. He does have Marquez Valdez-Scantling. He's probably the second guy I would want to own as far as the receivers go for Green Bay. They weren't able to get a lot done either with the running game. Aaron Jones didn't get going. I think he should be better this week. I don't think Minnesota's defense, I think, is solid. I don't think they're anywhere near as good as the Chicago Bears are. So Rodgers I'd be a little bit worried about, because just because we know he's not going to get you a ton of stuff with his rushing ability. We've got so many quarterbacks in the league now who have the ability to do that. Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. So many different guys that can get you those extra points using their legs and might score a rushing touchdown. I know years ago Rodgers was able to do that, but I really don't see that's part of his skill set in this day and age. So I would be a little bit worried about Rodgers, but I think it's Davante Adams. He'll get his targets. I think he'll be just fine. He also happens to be on my fantasy team, so I'm hoping he rebounds this week as well.
Hey, you're talking about DFS a little bit here, and for the most part, when we've had these conversations, we have stayed away from that. We're just talking about teams and players more. But I'm sure a lot of our listeners do play FanDuel, DraftKings, Fantasy Draft, and these sites. Do you have like a certain approach to these lineups that you build that might stand apart from a lot of those guys in that community? I just wonder, like, you have a sort of an interesting or an original idea that you would share about playing daily fantasy.
So everything goes into my columns. Those are the guys that I play each and every week. It happened last year. One week I had a huge week, made a lot of money. It was fantastic. Had a huge return on investment. And that's all I'm really hoping for every season, is that I have one big week out of the 16 that kind of covers the rest of the weeks. But what I would tell people to do is that the average person out there does not forget what happened last week. So a guy I wrote about this week, Sony Michel, okay, 15 carries for 14 yards. He's not going to have another game like that for the rest of the season. And every year, it always turns out that somebody for New England has that 3 or 4 touchdown game with 100 yards, and I really think that this could be this week. But I think so many people will just dismiss him because of what happened last week. So you've got to have a short memory. You've got to count on some of these guys bouncing back if they didn't do that good last week. And those guys would be great tournament plays. If I'm playing in cash games, I'm going for more of the sure thing, the guy that I know is going to do very well. For example, this week it's probably going to be Gio Bernard, because Joe Mixon's probably going to be out, and Gio Bernard's going to be cheap, and he's going to get 15 to 20 touches easily at home in what might be an okay matchup. So I'll play him in cash, but I have no problem getting away from him in big tournaments because everybody's going to be using him. So I just try to come up with a few different contrarian guys, and it's not like Miko Hartman. I'll use him this week. He's really cheap on all the sites, and I don't think he's going to have a lot of ownership. His ownership will probably be less than 5%. And those are the guys that you need to hit on to win the bigger tournaments. Again, we saw that last week. The guys who won, I think, had guys like Marquise Brown in their lineup, and they went off and paid off in a big way. And that, take a look at that. Take a look at the number one guy is always easy to go ahead and say, I think he's going to have a big game. But it's finding that second or third wide receiver. We're talking about DeSean Jackson. He's perfect for tournaments because he's going to have a lot of games where he has 2 catches for 27 yards, but then he's going to have a game like last week where he gets over the century mark and has 1 or 2 touchdowns and will be very low owned because of those other weeks that he goes ahead and doesn't do a lot. So that's kind of how I take the approach to it. And I definitely construct a few different lineups for tournaments and then just one lineup when I go ahead and play in the cash games.
Yeah, so fundamentally a big thing is to try to remember or forget like what happened a week ago, and what can you take from how people are talking about last week or what they remember about last week, and work that in your favor. I love that point. I mean, I don't bet games, but we do picks on the air, and I'm always thinking about that. Like, yeah, Bulldog, that's right. We have picks today.
I just mouthed picks silently, like, picks! Picks. I forgot about picks!
There's 2 games last week I just want to mention that I was lucky on because I used the same sort of thinking. One would be Dallas. It's not exactly week one, because we didn't have a week before last week, but I was right on Dallas because Ezekiel Elliott shows up, and the line doesn't move, and maybe like there'd be sort of momentum toward the Giants there or something, but Dallas did it. And then the Raiders, Antonio Brown was the same thing. Like, look, take the Raiders here because the public might think the Raiders are, you know, a mess or whatever because of that, and that worked out too. So different from what you're laying out, but in a certain way the same.
That's why I took the Dolphins this week with the points. They couldn't have had a more disastrous week one, and I don't think New England could have had a better week one. But again, these are professional athletes. The line opens up 15 or 16. Everybody jumped on New England immediately. So when the line moves and there's really no reason for the line to move. I feel like those are three free points that I got. So that's the reason. Same line of thinking why I took the Dolphins this week.
Yeah. And there's a possibility, there's a rumor that James White might not play, which would make Michelle, maybe he'd be chalkier, right. But, you know, probably set him up for even a better day. Before you go, Kevin, just a thought on Cleveland. I'm thinking a lot about them. They have the Jets here without Darnold now, and, you know, it was a pretty bad day for them. Less so in fantasy, but still not real good. Chubb not scoring, getting his touchdown vultured there. Beckham, just, you know, whatever that was. All of it overall, the Browns were not too stellar, obviously. So are you confident in them?
I am. I'm not going to give up on them quite yet. Now, if they lose this game, which they should win, they're favored. If they lose this game, then I might be pushing the panic button a little bit, much in the way that Carolina probably is right about now. So as long as they show up this week, and I think they will, I think they'll be fine. I mean, they still have one of the best receivers in the league. They've got one of the best running backs in the league. Njoku had the touchdown last week. I thought that he would go ahead and develop. Have a lot of room to work over the middle with those guys on the outside. Jarvis Landry will be back. They just got too much talent for me to give up on them quite yet. And, you know, at the end of the day, maybe we're not giving enough credit to the Tennessee Titans. Maybe they're a little bit better of a team than we thought they were and gave them credit for. Maybe they're going ahead and finally turning around. Maybe that's the team to beat in that division this year, especially with now the injury in Jacksonville. To Foles, and Indianapolis doesn't have Andrew Luck. Houston loses that bad game Monday night. Maybe the Tennessee Titans are that good. So that'll be interesting to see how they do at home against Indianapolis this week as well.
They have won 3 years in a row, Tennessee. So it's not, you know, that's not great, but it's not like they couldn't make a step. Like, it wouldn't be amazing for them to win a couple of more games and you know, kind of take over that division.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kevin, great to talk to you again. Good luck in Shopes and Dreams, and we enjoy talking to you, of course, as you know.
Okay, thanks. Have a great weekend, guys.
All right. Kevin Payne of RotoWire on Twitter, at KCPayne26. Now, 26, mystery solved.
Right, 26 years old when that, yeah, right.
The world was wondering, and now it's been answered.
26.
Wow. Yeah.
Trying to remember 26.
I know. It's possible that at 25 or 26, I had some sort of inappropriate. I think I would have had email then. I would have had email at 26. AOL.
I definitely did not.
20 years ago?
No.
Well, for you, it's closer to 30.
Me, yeah, right. Yeah,
it's more.
Yeah. We would be moved on from email by the time I turned 26 at this rate.
Yeah, that's right. It might be a relic.
I remember living in an apartment on Richmond Avenue in like 98 or even 99, right before we got married, and that was like the first dial-up internet connection I remember having. It was there. So, but when I was 26, no way. No.
No. You're probably happy, though. You didn't really need it. You didn't really feel like there was a void.
You don't know what you're missing.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
You haven't had it. You know.
We will have sports and talking about, I'm thinking about the Bills and how here at work, like, you know, a lot of people would have experienced this today and maybe every Friday during the season. Like, work wants you to wear Bill stuff, right? Like, it's spirit day, that kind of thing. Schools, kids, Bill stuff. And I've seen a couple of interesting things.
Okay. I have too, and it strikes me that this – have we been doing this?
It's happened.
Yeah. It really stood out to me today. Like, there was more people buying into it. Yeah, maybe that's it. I don't
prizes.
Know. I mean, it's not uncommon to see people in Bills gear on a Friday, but I walked in here and I felt like I walked into the bank. Like, the bank is what I think about. Like, Fridays and football season, it's like all the tellers are wearing, you know.
Yes.
Do people still go to the bank? I haven't been to the bank in a while, but when I used to go, that's what I think of for Football Friday is the bank. And it looked like the bank in here when I walked in.
It looked like the bank. There it is, summed up. The update right ahead. Sal will be here from 5 to 6. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, you can reach us at 803-0550. This is WGR.
Several players that have already come out and, you know, that have mentioned things about that. We don't do that. I've never done that anywhere I've been. We don't do anything to hurt the team. It's the number one primary thing. If you're committing penalties, you're doing those type of stuff, we just don't do it. You know, and you guys are cooperating, giving him attention. Just don't give him attention, you know, and it just is what it is.
Is it discouraging on some level, though? He's one of the most dynamic players in the league.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's your opinion? What's New York's opinion? The Giants' opinion. What did the Giants do? So that's not a question for me.
Greg Williams, within that is, We're not a team. Penalties are bad, and we are not coaching penalties. We are not about that.
We've never done that.
Ever. Don't you remember, one thing I remember saying about Greg Williams when he was the Bills coach, that ended in 2003, all right? So this is a while ago. He had, the Bills had a game or a stretch of games where they had a lot of penalties, and he said, in the same way, that's not us. And I remember on the air saying, it actually is.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you can say that, but when you are if you are committing penalties all the time, that is actually you.
It might not be who you want to be, right. But it is, you know, are we all who we want to be? I mean, not all the time, you know, like it you know. And this is a guy that's on tape. Get suspended from the league for a year.
Kill the head.
We're talking about taking guys out. And he's going to stay. I mean, is he the president now? I'll just say it. It'll be true. Everyone will believe it. I'll just keep repeating it. We don't do it. I've never done that. Okay, sure. Whatever you say, pal.
Well, there's that. And then, you know, the media shouldn't cover Odell Beckham because you're giving him attention. And then the reporter goes, well, he's actually one of the most dynamic players in the league. Or even he could have said famous. And Williams is like, well, that's your opinion.
Yeah,
what do the Giants think?
The Giants didn't like him.
I mean, that's not how you measure whether Odell Beckham is popular or really good, is, you know, just in this way.
Yeah. This guy Anderson on the Jets, the shot he took at Allen's knees last week was disgusting. I mean, just filthy. And I have not heard, Joe, if I missed any disciplinary action. I mean, not that I really care if they fine him. I wouldn't think they'd suspend him for it. But, I mean, that was gross.
McDermott said they were moving on. He got a question the other day. So, I don't know if the Bills thought it was getting anywhere.
I mean, this is the same guy, Anderson. It's Henry Anderson. He injured Hauschka last year. I think that's how I came to see. I think I would have eventually seen it anyway. But the first place I saw this Anderson hit on Allen was on a tweet, I believe, from Hauschka's wife. She had this clip, and that was the last name on the account. I'm guessing it's his wife, but I don't know for sure. Okay.
Yep.
And he's on the ground, Anderson. He gets up and then just sort of stumbles into the back of Allen's legs. Just what are you doing? It's just gross, man.
I had to follow some of the wives. Or the moms, or the dads, you know?
Yeah.
They're the ones who'll talk.
Yeah.
The players really don't talk, but the wives, heat of the moment, the wives or the parents, Zay Jones, the parents.
Hauschka's wife, I think, Lindsay, I think might have been her first name, she put up a montage, really. There was the clip of Anderson blindsiding Hauschka last year, which hurt him, and then she had Anderson sort of innocently enough, but just enough to make you wonder, sort of bumping into Allen after a pass up high, and Allen went down and sort of looked at the ref like, what the hell was that? And then the most egregious to me of all of them was this move at the knees. I mean, the sport is dangerous enough. I don't need guys out there hunting for quarterback's knees. And that's clearly what the guy was doing there. I got no time for that.
Yeah, Greg Williams is he's somebody in the sport who has been suspended for doing this thing.
Yeah.
And here he is saying it's never happened.
I mean, you have zero, to me, he has zero credibility on that issue.
Yeah. You know, he could deny saying it about Beckham, and then you might believe him. Like, I don't... He sort of ruins it.
Yeah.
By saying, well, I would never do that. I mean, we know that he did, close enough.
Mm-hmm.
So then you want to, I guess, maybe assume that he has done that about Beckham. Because of this answer, this is like when you say, if you ask Rasmus Ristolainen if he's asked for a trade and he doesn't say no, then the answer is yes. You know, like, it's a pretty easy question to say no to if you have not done that.
Right.
It's what you would want to say. But when he says, I don't want to talk about it, right? So you can sort of, right. Williams, if Williams said, I would never do that about Odell Beckham, he is a great player, I mean, I've learned my lesson, et cetera,
right.
Then he's fine. The people will still judge him, but he's really fine. That's not what he chose to say.
And I don't know, like, I'm not just, you know, just to close it out here, like, I don't know that he's instructing Henry Anderson to do this stuff. I mean, he wasn't there last year when he took the shot at Hoshka. So Anderson might just be one of these guys that's, I got a shot, I'm going to take it. You know, the whistle isn't blown. I can block you even though you don't see me coming and you're a kicker. I'm just going to blast you because I can. You have a helmet on. You know, so I can't sit here and pretend to know that Williams is telling the guy, hey, you get a chance to take Allen's legs out, go for it. But this Anderson might just be a guy that wants to do that no matter who he's playing or who he's being coached by.
Let's talk to Max here. Hi, Max.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you, Max. Go ahead, man.
Oh, okay, cool. I just wanted to say I'm in San Jose, California. I'm a diehard Bills fan, but saw this on Twitter, so I just wanted to give you a call. First thing, yeah, Henry Anderson's a bum, so I cannot believe they're not reviewing that more, but I can't stand that guy. And then I just wanted to talk about the importance of the game on Sunday, because to me it's really important, because in the first eight games of the season, you know, I think there's four games that we have to win, and it's this Giants game, and then we have two home games. We have the Bengals, and then we have the Redskins. Or I'm sorry, I apologize. No, it's the Dolphins game.
Yeah.
And I think if we can start 3-0, regardless of what happens with the Patriots, at Titans, and then we have the Eagles, if we can win that Dolphins game, and then, you know, because everybody's, like, thing right now is, oh, you need to start 5-3, you need to start 6-2, because we got those four tough games down the stretch. Well, if we win these four winnable games, we only need to win one more of the hard ones in the beginning of this schedule, and I don't know. I just think this is the game that we get going with the passing game, and maybe Allen has a good 300-plus yard day, but this is a game we just really can't lose, and I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Well, it's felt that way really since the schedule came out. The Giants won five games last year, and it was, you know, we seem to all know that the schedule looks imbalanced, so that later in the season you've got some tough road trips, even home games with the Ravens in mind, I'm thinking about. So, yeah, that seems right. I think the Bills, probably to make the playoffs, will have to beat all these teams like this, you know? And last week, I said all week this week that I feel like that Jet win was necessary for this to be a season. They got it. 1 point counts just the same. And so on to week two. Thank you, Max. By the way, I found that Bulldog was wrong about something.
Ooh.
The Chargers and Lions have played.
Oh, yeah.
11 times.
Mm.
And in 1996, they played on Monday Night Football.
I didn't watch it.
Detroit and San Diego. It used to be San Diego Chargers.
I'm not. Listen, you got to produce highlights. Don't give me this box score. That's the internet. You can doctor anything. I need to see footage.
I don't have footage, but I do know that they played in 2000 or in 1996 on Monday Night Football, and the quarterbacks were Stan Humphries for San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he was a Super Bowl quarterback for San Diego in 94 under Bobby Ross, who was still the coach. And the Lions quarterback was?
Rodney Pete.
That's a very good guess. Probably I would have thought of Rodney Pete.
But it's incorrect. Let's see. Greg Landry would have been long retired by 96.
So. It's incorrect. I don't really know why. Like, is he there then? I don't really know. But two other quarterbacks played in this game for Detroit. Not Rodney Pete.
Eric Kramer? Did he ever play for Detroit?
He did. He was excellent for them, but this is post-Eric Kramer.
Okay.
So you have Scott Mitchell.
All right.
Left-hander who played for Miami, and then he's the Lions quarterback after that. But the guy who plays the most in this game, and I'm thinking maybe starts, is Don Majkowski from DePew. And I do not remember him playing for Detroit.
Nor do I.
So if you did, you might remember him. You might remember a game between the Lions and the Chargers that you're holding tight on this. You think there's never been one.
Right. No. This is all fake news.
Majkowski was the Lions quarterback Monday Night Football, Detroit at San Diego. It says here. Sal's coming in at 5 for the roundtable. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. It's Football Friday on WGR. Welcome back. Eddie Money has died. Eddie Money at the age of 70. He'd been sick. And was he a favorite of yours?
I wouldn't say he was a favorite of mine, no. But great voice, big hits. I mean,
yeah.
Ever present in my youth. So, yeah, I mean, iconic even. Two Tickets to Paradise, that song is going to live forever.
Yep, it's fun to listen to him. So, 70, Eddie Money.
70 years old.
70. Time now for our Rachel's Fresh Picks segment, Bulldog, where I make picks and tell you how great Rachel's is once again. Rachel's Mediterranean Grill.
All right.
Which I love very much. I kind of like the Vikings at the Packers. 2.5. I've always, since I started thinking about this stuff, I'm drawn to the teams that are getting 2.5. Because why isn't it 3? There's enough pressure.
They don't deserve it.
Yeah, they don't deserve it?
They don't know what to do with an extra half point.
There's enough pressure against it for the line to tick to 3. So, you know, a 2.5 point line tells you that, you know, there's weight behind the team getting the 2.5 points, in this case the Vikings. And they threw the ball 10 times last week against Atlanta. I don't want to forget about how I felt about certain teams going into the season after one game, because I think it's right to do it this way. I like the Falcons a lot. I'm going to take the Falcons too in their game on Sunday night. They have Philadelphia and they are a home underdog in that game. But Minnesota, what they were able to do in that game, completely control it, running the ball, which is really interesting. And Green Bay kind of looked bad against the Bears. So where do you want to be? You know, the Packers are home here, but I'm going to be on the Vikings, I think, plus 2.5. So I like that. And fantasy-wise, one guy, this guy's playing for you already. But maybe somebody is a little down on him because of week one. But I think Juju is in a great spot this week for the Steelers.
Okay.
Remember Roethlisberger, home and away?
Right.
Historically.
Right. Big, big differential and splits there. Yeah.
Patriots are so good at taking your best guy away. Gilmore is so good. Smith-Schuster might have had 7 catches in that game anyway, some number like that. Got a toe injury, but I haven't heard too much about that this week. The Seahawks, they have injuries, and that secondary is just all the way different than it used to be. John Ross went off against the Seahawks secondary in Seattle. So I think Pittsburgh's in a pretty good spot there at home. And I mean, Juju's already in your lineup, like I said, but
yeah, right.
Maybe in DFS you might want to pay up and make room for him, because I think that could be a huge game.
All right. Couple of picks. More picks coming up in an hour, or an hour and 10 minutes or so, anyway.
Right. Sal Capaccio, though, is next. Our Bills Roundtable follows the update here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.